up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Pete this evening. Pete, good to have you with us.
Hey, great to be here. And we will talk to you.
Quack you. Oh, no, wait, that's wrong show, wrong movie. Yeah. And all this Quack week, you, right? We've got Steve. Steve, how's it going this evening?
It's going well. How are you, Derek?
I really can't complain. My school year is done for the year. So I'm heading down to see the mouse in Florida right about the time this is going to be aired. So
nice. And we're right in between because I was just out with Steve in California, hanging out with that the mouse out there.
So, guys, if you're not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some really fun shows coming up. We got a fun Father's Day one that's going to go back into a movie that some of you probably have not seen in a while if you've watched it more than once at all. And so, we've got some fun stuff coming up. This week, I am calling this a diamond in the rough, even though Disney has been promoting it a little bit. We watched the concert film Queen Rock Montreal. This was filmed over the course of 2 days in Montreal in 1981. Queen had not been on tour at this point. And so they had to get everything back up. And the original version of this Queen was not happy with. They did not like the director promoter that they had going on. Freddie really didn't like him because he wanted them to do the same thing two nights in a row, and they don't move the same two nights in a row. The original version of this was called We Will Rock You when it came out in theaters. This version has gone back, redone the audio on it from the original master recordings, has completely redid the video on it to the point of they went back and found takes that weren't used and did it to try and make it a little bit more cohesive, because in the original movie, it was very obvious that things were not quite synced up night to night.
Yeah, apparently, like, he would use the director used the audio from one night and a video from another night.
So and that didn't work.
Yeah.
But this was done, redone with the supervision of Brian May, lead guitarist, and was brought to Disney Plus a couple weeks ago. And we decided to watch it mainly because, I think we're all at least somewhat Queen fans on here. And I wanted to see, personally, I wanted to see how this is going to would hold up against the Taylor Swift concert. But we're not talking about that yet. We will get there in a little bit. Pete, I am going to start with you on this one, though. What about this film showed that Queen are the champions?
So just give a little background. I'm actually a really big Queen fan. And at probably a little after this, cause I was probably a little too young to be into music like in 1981, but probably 83, I started getting into the band and was a really big fan through the 80s and through to the point where, Freddie Mercury passed away, to the point that, like, for many, many years, you could not get their records on CD in the United States. I think they didn't release them till like right around 2000.
Yeah,
and I, And I actually paid a lot of money for several of their albums to get them from England on CD. So I have a lot of CDs that were pressed in the early 90s of theirs that were pressed in the, so that it's not quite the quality of the current ones. But so I've been a big fan of theirs for a while. Have all of their, I have had all of their albums, have all of their albums. So I hadn't seen this concert. I'd seen and heard concerts from around this era. So the thing about it is they are a great stage band. They're a great band for a live performance. Freddie Mercury in particular knows how to work the audience. And so I think that's, to me, the aspect that shines through the most in this concert. I also think they did a pretty good job showing off the other band members as well. Maybe that was the remaster. But you know, they had a couple of the solos that they let everybody show off and everything like that. I like the mix of songs. They're not all necessarily ones everybody's familiar with, but there's a lot of songs there that I like personally. So I really like that a lot. And those are the main things, and again, just liking the music. Steve, what did you think? What were the highlights for you?
For me, sort of that flashback to the 80s, like a lot of the songs, yeah. Like, oh, I recognize that one. There's a few that was actually Queen, because I've heard like covers and didn't realize that it was one of the original songs. I agree with you. Mercury's a great performer. I liked that. I'd say that, and it was just a nice set list. It was a nice variety of music. I ended up sort of stopped watching it and got distracted, but was just listening to it. So I'd say a set list, great song choices. Okay. What about you, Derek?
While having not had the experience with Queen that Pete has, have always really enjoyed their songs. One of the first CDs I got was the original Greatest Hits CD, the one with the black cover on it. This, I think, while Freddie Mercury is great, I think the one that's overlooked is Brian May sometimes as far as his guitar chops. And just how well he can, some of the guitar licks he lays down are just phenomenal. I mean, Tie Your Mother Down is just a rocking guitar lick that is phenomenal to me personally. I liked that for the most part, they focused on the band and didn't do too many shots of the audience. I liked that. And again, this is where they redid it, because early on in the original version, there were a lot more shots of the audience. But I liked the fact that it focused on the music and not as much on any kind of discussion he would be having back and forth with the audience or any kind of that interplay. There was one time that happened, but other than that, it was just very much I felt like I could have been sitting and watching this concert, mm-hmm. which is always nice. Honestly, it reminded me a lot of how they did Hamilton with the far off shots and then some of the closer in shots that you don't normally get. So, okay. If that was about this show that they are the champions, Steve, I'll let you lead off on this one. What about this should have been thrown off the stage?
My problem I have with concert films is I hate being forced to focus on something. I'm used to like letting my eyes wander where it is. So I got frustrated with some of the shots. I think that's why I started to stop watching and just more listened, because I felt sometimes like the video choices were frustrating to me. Maybe it would have been different if it was like a big on the IMAX. I know originally they released this for IMAX, so a bigger experience. So, I found that frustrating. Like,
so you would have preferred further back shot so you could have seen more stuff.
I think so. And let my eyes wander. I think I know it's coming up, but talking about Taylor Swift, it's just how production for concerts have totally changed compared to when this was. I mean, it used to be you would go, they would play, and there would be lights and stuff, but there wasn't as much sort of production as there is now.
And we'll get into that, as you said, here in just a little bit.
Yeah.
But for me, to me, the second half selection was stronger than the first half selection. You could tell they had just put out the album The Game, because there were a few songs from that are not among their strongest. And it's just like one or two at the end of about the first half. But there were a couple weaker songs in this. I don't have a lot negative to say about this, to be perfectly honest. As you said, this is one you could just listen to because they have redone the audio on it. And there was only one point where you could tell that they were using audio that they were not singing at that point in time, but they did that at every concert in Bohemian Rhapsody. The operatic part was done as a pre-recorded piece at every concert just because of so many overdubs and so many different voices.
Yep.
So, and Pete, you said you've seen them recently. Do they still do that on those concerts, or do they just kind of skip that part of the song?
I think when I saw them with Adam Lambert, they did something very similar with that.
Yeah.
And it's funny. There's a band that comes through this area that does, Queen tributes, and they actually play that middle part. So it's interesting that the big band didn't, but yeah, should I go with mine?
All right, yeah.
Okay. So I kind of agree with Steve. I had the same issue with the shot selection, and it was either really tight on like one of them individually,
mostly
Freddie, but like you know during the solos or whatever, they'd go to the other guys, or it was like super wide to the point that you couldn't really see any of them. Like there was not really many good shots of just the band on the stage. And I would have liked to have seen more of that as you know, kind of what Steve said, which is you can look where you want to look. So if you can see all four of them playing at the same time, you can kind of watch who's playing. So that would be my I didn't think it was shot in a particular interesting way. And you know what you said at the beginning, Derek, kind of points out that the band thought the same thing.
Yeah.
And you know, they did what they could to fix it. And also, I mean, this was a different time. So a lot of concert films were like this, unless you got into something like The Song Remains the Same, Led Zeppelin, where there was like they shot these scenes that they would put into it that was outside of the actual concert. But the actual concert stuff is just like they're on stage and they're playing, and you don't have the production values you have now on concerts for the most part. So.
And also talking about some of the set list, do you have the live CD, the CD set of this concert, Pete?
I do. I don't have this one. No.
Okay. Because they actually played Flash and the Hero on this in the first half, that there is literally no video footage remaining.
Right. Yeah.
So that's why they were not on the video set of this movie, is because there's literally no video of them playing those two songs.
Yeah. It would have been interesting to see how they played Flash, because there's a lot of overdub from the movie in that song. So it would have been interesting how they would do that live. As I said, they actually released a live album that very near the same, this it might not have been the same tour. I'd have to go back and look, but there was a live album around this time that had a lot of the same music on it.
They made a live album of this concert,
right? But that didn't come
out one.
Yeah, that didn't come out till much later. I'd have to look it up. I mean, we can keep talking. I'll look it up while we're going. But But yeah, I didn't actually have this album. I think this album came out as this concert was originally just released as a film. And then in like the late 80s, it was released as a CD.
I think you're right. So,
yeah.
So, okay. All right. So month and a half ago, we watched the Taylor Swift Eras film. And the question that we're going to get into is this a better concert film than Taylor Swift? And I'm just going to start off on this one just because I can. I think one big thing you have to remember when comparing them is the fact that the production values of the two concerts are completely different. I have no doubt that if Freddie Mercury were on stage today, it would look a lot like a Taylor Swift concert. What I'm not sure of, I'm not sure if Freddie would have had background dancers because back then they could have had background dancers, and a lot of bands did have dancers with them up on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we are just going with it as a concert film, I think both films are very, very representative of what the concert experience was when you went and saw them when they were taped. Are we all going to have our preferences? Yes. And we'll get to that here in just a second, but, and you guys can jump in and disagree if you want to, but I think as far as productions for as a record of what their concert looked like, I would say this is at least as good as the Taylor Swift film, if not better, just because of the technologies that they didn't have back then and how new video recordings and equipment was back then compared to what they've got now. So Pete's still looking up the date. Steve, I'll let you with a rebuttal.
I think I agree with you. I think this is a better representation of them as an artist and what I would see. I think it was very much them, where I feel like Taylor Swift. I'm not a fan. I mean, it was good production, but I don't think that truly represented what her, it was very high production. And I felt this was more at the heart of what Queen did. I mean, that's where I would stand. I mean, it's really hard to compare. It's two different eras. It was fascinating to see
who back in the 80s. Said there. Yeah.
Wow. But it was interesting of just how that went about. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a hard comparison because I think the Taylor Swift concert is they did a really nice job with it and the production. But as you say, it's so hard to compare to something 40 years later. You know, and you know, as you said, I did see Queen and Adam Lambert about maybe 5 years ago, and they had all that production of a whole video screen behind them, and they had props. And at one point, I think Adam Lambert came up on the stage on like a big pair of lips or something like that. I mean, it was all these different things. So, but it wasn't to the extent of Taylor Swift. So, I mean, so for me, I liked this one, like this one I would go back to, and I wouldn't necessarily go back to Taylor Swift, but in terms of a production of like showing the entire career, I think Taylor Swift's as of today probably did a better job of that. And I did look it up. The album was actually Live Killers, which was a double CD. It came out for the album before the game. So it was, so it had a lot of the same songs. It was a double album. And I listened to that album a ton when I was a kid. So, this very much reminded me of that, that set. Cause I said, it was a lot of the same songs. There was just the new songs from the game that you mentioned, which
right.
were hit or miss. I mean, Another One Bites the Dust is from the game. So that's
right.
That's a great live song, but yeah, a couple others. Dragon Attack, I think they did, which is.
Although I will say, I loved the musical version of "We Will Rock You," that opening that they
at the beginning
that I had never heard before. I really enjoyed that. So,
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to throw this one out there just, and this will be the one that, who would you say is the better group of musicians? Taylor Swift, because you got to remember, she writes all her own songs, or most of her own songs anyway. She can play, you know, the guitar. She sings. But then you've got, you know, Brian May, you've got Roger Taylor, Deacon and Freddie, and it's, and again, I know that's not, it's not necessarily a true one-on-one comparison because you've got a group versus a person, but
I would say for writing songs, Taylor Swift, I'm not into her music, but I think songwriter-wise, she wins, but I think performance, Queen.
Yeah, I'm going to argue for Queen on this in that I don't, a lot of people don't know this, but a lot of their songs were written as individuals, and they are the only quartet in history that has number one singles written individually by every member of the band. Even the Beatles don't have that because Lennon and McCartney wrote all their songs as a duo. So the Beatles have, you know, all the Lennon McCartney songs and George Harrison and Ringo Starr, but because Lennon McCartney always agreed to split credits, there's actually no individual writing credits. The Queen, actually every single member of the band had a number one single that they wrote themselves, and extremely talented musicians, played a ton of different instruments. You know, we saw a little bit of that. Like Brian May could play like the ukulele and all these other things. So, I'm actually, just because of the number of talented people, I'm going to give it to Queen. What about you, Derek?
As musicians, I'm going to go Queen, just because, as you said, the only song in this show that they did not write was Jailhouse Rock.
Right. Yeah.
One of the four has written every single one of their hits. And actually almost all of their albums have been written by one of the four guys.
Right.
I will say that I think there is a bigger range. And again, part of this is the time. I think there's a bigger range in the types of songs that Queen did than Taylor Swift does. Taylor Swift is fantastic for this time period. For yes. Today, she's a very good musician. She has many, many different types of songs-ish. I'm sorry, to go from We Will Rock You to Love of My Life, I mean, those are two songs that should never be with the same group. This is the same time period where AC/DC basically came on and said, yeah, we're not doing any soft songs because that's not who we are. So it's just a case of the variety that they have, their harmonies, that is, there is no auto-tune on this at all. And yeah, I'm not saying Taylor Swift uses auto-tune.
And until The Game, they did not use any electronics on any of their albums. So everything before that, everything like Bohemian Rhapsody, and that was all instrumentation. There was no like studio trickery. That was all like overdubs and everything like that. They didn't start using any kind of, as I said, synthesizers or anything until The Game was the first album that they broke that policy. And even
then, they didn't use a ton of them.
No. But they did post that, they did start using them more and more, a lot of synthesizers, a lot of even some synth, what do you call it, drum machines and things like that. But up to that point, they had, everything was their own instruments. And again, not taking away anything from Taylor Swift. She has, she has the ability to write. I was very impressed with, because a lot of the bigger hits that she have do kind kind of sound samey, but watching that concert, I got a better feel for her range of music, and I was more impressed by it watching that concert. So I don't want to take away from her, but as I said, I think just as the talent that this band had as a whole, you know, some bands it's one or two guys have all the talent and the rest of the band's just kind of there. And this is not the case with Queen. It's all four of them.
Yeah. And I would say I would put these guys, from what I'm thinking, these guys and the Eagles up against just about anybody else.
Yeah. Yep.
So, okay. As we always do, we rate stuffs on cups of pixie dust out of 5. Oh, sorry. I skipped a step. Real quick, Pete, favorite Queen song?
Somebody to Love.
Okay. Steve?
Another One Bites the Dust.
Fat Bottom Girls. Has the harmonies and the driving rock.
Yeah.
So
I love that song too. I was thinking of that one, but Somebody to Love is my favorite.
Yeah, makes sense. So okay. Now that's why Gina wasn't pulling it up earlier. We always rate things on cups of pixie dust out of 5. Kate's not here. And I'm just gonna say we're not gonna do the whole as a movie versus personal, you know, as a concert film versus personal preference. I think we've already covered that. Just in general, your rating for Queen Rock Montreal, Pete.
I'm going to give this a 4. You know, again, big fan of the band. I think that it isn't, it unfortunately, I wish there were other things of other concerts of theirs they had videos of. And I have to leave room above it for a couple other films. So I'm going to call this a 4 out of 5. Steve?
I'm going with 3.5 because I lost interest in watching it, but enjoyed like completely listening to it. About halfway, I guess stopped watching, but I listened and totally enjoyed listening to it. So 3.5.
Yeah, and that's where I'm going to go to. I'm going to go with 3.5 just because if someone puts this on, absolutely awesome. I will sit and listen to it while I'm doing other stuff. I'll crank the volume up. Sure, cool. I don't know that I necessarily need to watch it.
Yeah.
But this is even one of those where I might, you know, put it on if I want to do this playlist and I can't find it on like YouTube Music or whatever. I know I can pull this up, like if I'm going driving down the road and hit play and the playlist will play for an hour and a half, give me an hour and a half worth of music. Plus, I love the fact that it was only an hour and a half. Now, obviously, they cut a couple songs and they cut the intermission. But I love the fact that it was only an hour and a half. They didn't try and do too much. So,
yeah, okay. I think that was one of the problems with the Eras tour. If you're not a huge Taylor Swift fan, is it was just too long for like an average music fan. And I think I totally agree with you. This felt like, you know, a good 90 minutes, not too long. I actually watched, because I was on a plane watching this, and I also watched the Elton John on Disney Plus. They had Elton John concert at Dodger Stadium, like his last concert, and that was like 2.5 hours long. And I love Elton John too, but it went on a little too long. So
I don't know who I could listen to for 2.5 hours of a concert, because, you know, I'm guessing anyway, it wasn't as tight as this one was, where it was just song after song after song after song after song.
Right. Well, and I think it had been broadcast live, so it was the full concert. You know, so yeah, it was definitely not tight.
Okay. With Kate not here, I'm going to do the Disney Plus news this week. We got a couple things. We talked about this before, but Disney did confirm this week that the new Vision series will be coming to the service in 2026. It is focusing on White Vision, that we saw at the end of WandaVision. Be interesting to see which way he goes, because in the comics, he actually then heads up is the mentor for Young Avengers.
I wonder if they're going to set that up.
So and the fact that they still announce this today after they have done the, you know, the whole quality over quantity type thing, makes me wonder if they think this actually has some promise to it, as opposed to just get stuff on the service, get stuff on the service, get Marvel, get Marvel, get Marvel. So,
yeah.
Other thing is capitalizing on the 30th anniversary of the movie, The Lion King at the Hollywood Bowl will come to Disney Plus later this year. It will be comprised of a taped series of live concerts recorded last week, which featured a good chunk of the original movie and Broadway cast. So it's going to be represent both the movie and the Broadway part of it. So, and I have a feeling we'll be pulling that up at some point where we need a break from whatever seriousness it is that's being thrown at us. So, okay. Next week, due to the sequel coming out, we're going to be watching Inside Out. Pixar movie of follows the emotions of, I cannot remember the girl's name. I want to say Riley.
Riley.
Okay. Has a great voice cast for some of them, but we will get out into all of that next week. Guys, we do have some spots, especially July is pretty open because not a lot has been announced because, again, we're still in that dead spot of post-strike. New stuff's not still coming out. So if you have suggestions, please email us at plusfortune@gmail.com. Message us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, anywhere. We have new shows coming out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Pete, Steve, and Gina, Kate, I'm having an anniversary dinner. Happy anniversary, by the way. We will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.